Hello everyone and welcome to this Charity Digital podcast. And guess what? Your favorite host is back. Me, Nick Wyatt, the Growth Marketing Executive here at Charity Digital. So look at us, the Charity Digital podcast started more than 3 years ago with old headphones, not much sense of direction, and perhaps a little bit too much ambition. But now, as we speed past our 100th episode, we are growing and growing with professional equipment, backing tracks and editing software, external thought leaders and internal experts, and probably still too much ambition. It has been a It has been a roller coaster of a ride, but we have learned so much over this period. So we wanted to sit down with you, our audience, and talk about everything we have learned and work through how you can grow your own podcast. Personal level, I have been doing these podcasts for over 2 years now, and though I'm far from an expert, of course, I have learned quite a lot. From hosting a podcast about how not to host a podcast and accidentally insulting a panel guest, to today, where I still sometimes accidentally insult our panel guests. So, with all of this in mind, we wanted to dedicate an episode to growing a podcast. We want listeners to learn from our many mistakes, to embrace our few successes. We have accumulated a dream team of guests, three people who have appeared on perhaps too many podcasts, three people who have built a rapport over months of recorded arguing and recreational rage, three people who will share all their limited wisdom. So, joining me today is the always wonderful Laura Stanley and the sometimes wonderful Johan Mark Jones. Hello to you both.
Hello. Hi. That was a great intro. Loved that.
Yes, I'm glad you did. Okay. It was all for you guys. It was all for you. So, let's start from the top and talk about the things we're using at this very moment. But what do people really need to, what do they need equipment-wise and such to take the next step into growing their podcast?
Yeah, I can jump off. I think the one thing is, you know, if you're talking about starting a new podcast, it's a very different story. It often starts on Zoom and so on and so forth. And we've talked about that a little bit in how not to do a podcast, which we'll put in the resources section. But this is more about taking that next step. And it's something we've actually only done quite recently. So for a long time, we went off Zoom. We had external speakers. We struggled to get people. And we actually found one massive way of improving is just bringing a lot of it in-house and having regular guests. Researching loads, basically really familiarizing days. It might take hours and often we'll have some of that knowledge in-house anyway. So taking the next step on that level is just about familiarizing, getting a consistency that's a bit better. And then once we've kind of seen that and the success of that, we thought, all right, we should get some internal equipment. And that meant, basically the stuff we're using now for the second time. And it's not too demanding in cost in terms of like, if you're doing regular podcasts and you're having some success like we were. So Nick actually picked a lot of this stuff because he's in a band and stuff like that. but basically I was, tasked with finding it, but Nick could probably say a bit more about it. But like, for example, the first thing we have is a user interface, I believe, called Focusrite Scarlett 18i8 USB audio interface, third generation, obviously.
Perfectly. I need you to write that down.
Yeah, perfect. We use a microphone called Shure, which we're currently speaking into now, Shure MV7X.
The brand is by Shure.
Okay.
Well, the mic is not called Shure. That's the name of the brand.
Okay, we'll edit that bit out.
That's like saying you've got a computer. Oh, I've got a Dell, and that's the, you know,
it's that's all I say when I say I've got a computer.
I have a Dell. I don't know. Maybe we'll do a podcast on that. And for headphones, we have Audio Technica M50X professional studio headphones for recording creators, DJs, gaming, podcasts, and everyday listening. Is that right?
That's right. Let me just go into this a little bit more detail. So Johan has just listed some of the stuff that we use on an equipment basis. So what he's basically saying is that we use microphones and interface and headphones to do everything. Mm-hmm. Now, to dive a little bit more into that, an interface is essentially, in the most layman way I can put it, I guess, is like the processor for the audio. So it comes through better. That's one way of putting it. So for example, what we're doing at the moment is we have three microphones wired up directly to our interface, which goes into a computer. And then it is recorded in something called a DAW, which is a digital audio interface, basically. Mm-hmm. So I guess to go a little bit deep into that, I mean, Before I get into that, actually, sorry, if you're looking for an interface, you can get them really cheap, and it all depends on how many microphones you want to use. We've gone for one which has four inputs because we know that we regularly have more than two people, but you can get really great ones from lots of different brands, like Behringer do really cheap ones, which are actually really good. Focusrite are like the industry standard for people doing smaller things like ourselves. And you just really look for the different features that you need. Mostly what you're going to need is how many inputs it has. And then on top of that, you're going to want to look at microphones. So I can't remember the model that Johan just mentioned, but these are really amazing microphones for podcasts. They're almost seen as the industry standard for anyone trying to start them. On top of that, yeah, the Audio-Technica are great headphones. And you really do need headphones because you need to judge line input, which is essentially when everyone's speaking, you don't want anyone to have any audio distortion and such. So you need to check that with a good pair of headphones. They don't have to be as good as these ones. These are just good ones. And then on top of that, you need a DAW. So what that essentially is the software that you record onto. And if you have got a good DAW, we use Adobe Audition, which is a really good place to start. Comes with Adobe packages, which you can buy off the exchange. But then I also have, in my spare time, have used things like Cubase, Ableton, Pro Tools, GarageBand. You could even use that, and that comes on for free on any Mac, really. So there's loads of different things. Just pick one that works for you. I really think, actually, if you do have a Mac, GarageBand is a great place to start, but Audition's also very easy. These will just make recording the audio much higher quality. It'll be easier to edit, and it'll make sure that your podcast takes that next level from being recorded on, say, just Zoom, where it's a singular audio track. You'll have three or four different audio tracks, which you can map out and do add effects onto if you want to. And maybe we'll add an effect on that as I say that, just for effect. But yeah, I could go into a lot more detail with this. Laura herself has done podcasts many, many times, so I'm sure she's got some beautiful things to tell you.
Absolutely nothing. Is Audacity a DAW?
Yes.
Right. Okay, sense, that's yes. Good to know, because I have used Audacity, but I didn't know that that was what it was. So that's very interesting. But yeah, so Audacity is free, and it does all the same things as sort of GarageBand, and I imagine, but probably not as like fancy, but it is good. It gives you the two separate tracks that you want, and it's really intuitive, and it just really helps with editing, because it means that you can, if someone, when you've got two separate tracks, if someone sneezes when someone's talking, you can make that silent, and it's a lot easier than if you've got one track where you basically have to cut the whole that whole part of the conversation. So it's just easier with things like that. I really like Audacity, to be honest. I think it's quite good. But can I just say about the sound quality? I was massively impressed. This is the first podcast I've been on since we got new equipment. I was very impressed with how much better it sounded. And I think when you're first starting out, it's very, like, I think when you're first starting out, don't be too ambitious. I have a podcast, like, in my spare time, and I just used the Dictaphone app on my phone, and it was good enough, you know. But then we did buy mics, and it just makes such a difference. And people want, it needs to be a nice sound if people are having you in their ears, I think. So don't underestimate the power of a good sound, I think.
Yeah. I mean, when you're talking about the power of a good sound, you don't even really have to break the bank as well. There's always a budget option on absolutely everything. And you'll find, generally speaking, in this industry with these kind of equipment, is that the budget version of the really good stuff will sound 90% as good as the best stuff. It's not a 50, you know, it doesn't scale with the price. That extra 10% is really good. But if you really want to take you don't have a lot of budget, getting some decent mics for very, very little from some of the sort of cheaper brands. Once again, I reckon Behringer make lots of cheap mics. You can do that, and you can save a lot of money, and you can do what Laura said and get Audacity for free. So yeah, there are budget ways of doing all of this to take that next step.
And definitely also, you know, it's kind of like, if you're on Zoom and you're using this rudimentary equipment, then make sure you've got the podcast you want, and that's when you take the step as well. If you're not getting the listeners and so on, maybe it's the podcast that's the problem. That sounded so ruthless. But what I mean is, maybe your podcast isn't reaching the right audience, or you need to do something to improve the podcast itself as opposed to the equipment. What I would suggest is invest in something that's successful. Don't invest in something that's not quite hitting those notes. And then from there on, once we've dealt with equipment, I think we can move into some other topics. So for example, improve your titles, improve the wording, the blurbs you have, professionalize them, have two people read over them. A good example, me and Laura both do content. I will always send Laura my blurbs. She will always send me hers. So we have a double check, and we think of ways to improve them. Add a bit of energy, add a bit of humor. You listen to Nick's introduction. That's where that's called going too far. But you can just add a little bit of humor as well, and just try and make it more appealing in that way. And then look at hosts and places like that. So, you know, other little improvements that you can make to make it a bit more professional. question was looking at Canva, for example, which is a free place or a very cheap place for great functionality, and you can have some design elements to your podcast. You can put faces on there of guests. Nick, I believe you designed one for one of our special podcasts, stuff like that.
I did.
YouTube audio library is a great place to go as well for those sort of music that you can use on the podcast, and just kind of getting, using these little things, the bells and whistles in a way, just to take it from here's a little chat about something that's interesting to here's a chat about something that's interesting that we produced in quite a good way. Mm-hmm. And of course, I'm sure we'll get to it, but editing's obviously a huge part of that too.
Yeah, I think the other side, and you've touched on it a little bit with Canva, is that you, if you want to take your podcast to the next level, the resources you'll also need is sort of a kit for all your marketing. You want to have everything succinct, and using things like Canva to create your logo and everything that works together for your marketing, which we will talk about later, is really important as well. But as I mentioned, we'll save that for a moment.
I completely agree. I recently changed the logo on my spare time podcast because it was very rudimentary, and now it's, and then we just found an old photo that of us that we thought really represented the brand, and then it doesn't have to break the bank or be hard to do. I mean, I'm not very good at design, but it just needs to. I'll tell you what we did. We looked at all our favourite podcasts and made a list of their logos and put them all together and saw what the elements were that we wanted to replicate, and also how they had talked about their own podcast. And I just thought that was a really interesting way of doing it. And it's, I think, always look at the competition for everything. Look at what they're writing in their synopsis, because I don't know if you've seen, like, sometimes it'll be less than so many words, or and they'll make sure all their socials are in the synopsis and stuff like that. So look at all the successful podcasts that you love or competitors in the area, and look at the topics that they're talking about and what they're doing.
Casual plagiarism.
Totally though.
Yeah, it is.
They're all doing it.
Everyone does it. Yeah. And I think we've said on this podcast many times that we're very guilty of it too.
Yeah.
In a legal sense, to the people listening at home.
It's inspiration, is what I would say, more than anything. Yes. I think it's get to know what people are doing in that space. Like, we're all learning from each other. That's literally what marketing is.
Yeah, it is. Okay, so let's look at the next step of this. So they've got the equipment, they've got everything they need to take the next step. What are the sort of topic areas, the content and the speakers can people do to take that next level?
So yeah, I'll kick that off. I think the first thing to do is think about planning, create a content calendar, look at the days of the year and arrange your content around that. With podcasts, one thing we've found is topical issues really do work. I don't find, we're a small sort of content organization, but I don't find actually articles are going as well in terms of topical issues, days of the year and stuff like that. But with podcasts, they do tend to get quite a lot of traction. So we covered the cost of living crisis in recent months, and that's gone really well. And we've had a lot of good feedback for that and a lot of listens, of course. And then we've had stuff like days of the year, Christmas. We had the run up. We did the past, present and future of fundraising, which was Laura, I believe, gave a Charles Dickens laden introduction to that. But we basically look at the most important things coming up. And that's where planning comes in, because if you're coming up with it, and this is something we were guilty of. And again, this is how we've grown. We've become more planned. We've become more purposeful. But we used to sort of go, okay, what can we do in 10 days time? And what can we publish? And we'd say, okay, fundraising, or okay, volunteering. And we just knock something together. Whereas now we know what our next 3, 4, 5 podcasts are going to be, and we prepare for them in the future. People have time to research. They have time to familiarize themselves. We have time to reach out to great guests if that's what we're going to do, and give them some advance. So really, planning is the essential thing. And then thinking about what people want to hear about. One we did recently was on Giving Tuesday. Everyone in the charity sector is gearing up to that. We know that. Let's have a discussion about it and see what we can do. So little things like that are great. For a couple of quick examples of stuff you can do for that is an RSS feed. Favorite loads of sites in the sector, and just find out what they're talking about and think about what they might be talking about in the future. And then just ask around, engage in the community on socials or in, you know, in real life, and just see what's most important to people right now and what they're talking about. And those things in the next 2 weeks, 4 weeks are stuff that you can address. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Podcasts are a really great way to dive deeper into topics as well, because they are conversational and they are just a lot more natural as a medium. So I think use that as an opportunity. Don't see them the same as articles, but think about what the discussion points are, what the questions are that people are really asking. I love that for all our sound quality, we might actually be able to hear a whir in our
people here are. Aircon.
You know.
Just a note to listeners, we're very cool. Laura, sorry.
No. Like, that's all I had to say. That's not all I had to say at all. Just make sure you contribute to the conversations where you have value, and that's the best way to help people find you in the end, I think. Mm. Mm.
Just to add quickly to that, is one thing I mentioned briefly earlier is that we actually did put a lot of the content and a lot of the podcasts we're doing in-house, and we kind of have a group of core people who discuss them. Me and Laura are pretty much always involved in that. Nick, because he's a great host, but me and Laura, because we are content people, so we're engaging with that stuff anyway, so we always have a familiar sort of understanding of the topics at play. But what we found really is when you bring in external people, there's a polite way, probably a very polite way of putting this, is that the tone can be sacrificed a little bit and the consistency can be sacrificed. You can also get amazing guests. So it's got positives and negatives. But basically one thing about having it in-house is you can trust people to do the research themselves, to familiarize themselves with the content, and then to execute in a sort of playful way where we've built rapport. That's taken us a while. Me, for example, you should listen to my first podcast. It's about 30 minutes of breakdown. But
there's many a tear.
Yeah. But by this point, and we went over it about 10 times, had to stop about 15 times. But by this point now, we run off each other and we talk to each other, and that's where we've grown internally. So even if you're not brilliant at podcasts at this point, just trust that you'll get better and you'll improve as a team. And I think we're kind of quite conscious that we've done that.
Yeah, I think one thing to add on that is if you are going to have guests, though, is trying to get past that, because I totally agree with you. That sense of like, it is a bit weird with people you don't know. So maybe doing a pre-interview or having as many conversations with those people as possible beforehand is really good, because you will hopefully really like help that relationship grow at that point. If you dive straight into a podcast with someone you barely know, it is so awkward and everyone's not really sure when to jump in, because people can't read each other's sort of body languages about when they're going to talk. It's also one of the downsides of doing an online podcast as well. Sometimes it's really easy to do an online podcast, but in person, I can literally see someone lunging forward to the microphone, you know, and I'll back off if I was about to say something and let that person speak. But the amount of times people jump on each other verbally
thanks to clarify.
During online podcasts, it's a lot, and sometimes it gets a bit messy and it really reduces the quality a little bit.
It's that thing of you stop because they're going to speak, and then they stop because you're going to speak, and then there's a pause for about 3 seconds, then you both speak at the same time, and then everyone just kind of fades into the background.
Yeah, and there's already a delay on Zoom anyway, isn't it? So it's always like the waiting for someone to unmute themselves.
And I have a pretty robust internet connection at my house that has only failed about 5 times. Laughable. And that's every single time I've been on a podcast.
To be fair, I think both of you are notoriously bad for internet connections.
It doesn't happen on Zoom calls or Teams calls. It just happens when we're on a podcast.
Mine happens sporadically. It just decides to have a little meltdown. But like really big guests. Because people will generally really like to talk about what they do.
Yeah.
And so look for people with big audiences, and don't be afraid if you think that person's got the most interesting view on that topic, approach them.
I totally agree.
They can only say no.
Yeah, we had a podcast, we were going to do a podcast for a different element of Charity Digital's work, so it wasn't for this podcast, it was a different one, but I approached someone who did a podcast, one of my favourites, and he's a TV historian, and it was going to be really great. The timing didn't work out, unfortunately, but he said yes. I was delighted. It was going to be the best podcast ever.
I think there's loads of great examples of that happening as well. Yes, I totally agree with that.
And I also think one thing about podcasts is actually when people know the topic, it's not that big a time sink, really. I'm on a topic about, if it's not something I know, like for example, we did one on content recently, I didn't really have to prepare much. I maybe brushed up on certain things and got my house in order a little bit. But I mean, I spent half an hour researching this one, maybe a bit more, getting familiar of our history and stuff like that. But a lot of the time, if you're a historian and you're brought on to talk about history, you don't need to do anything. So it's an hour of your day, and that's a pretty good return on investment for them. You know, if they're getting amplification, they're getting some exposure and stuff like that, and maybe some pay as well. So
I think also you've got to remember that basically everyone who's listening here is in the charity sector. So their ask
my mum doesn't work in the charity sector.
I know, but I'm sorry. I'm talking about our audience here right now. But most people listening here will probably be in the charity sector, and their pull to get people on their podcast will be much greater than those trying to get personal gain on their own.
Yeah.
So, you know, people will help you out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's look at this way. We now have all the equipment. We have the topics. We have the speakers. Everything's shiny and brilliant. How do you take that and now grow it? Grow your audience. Get people listening to it. Take the next step in terms of listeners. How do we do it? I'm going to start with Laura this time, because Johan kicks off too often.
Thank you.
I think make yourself extremely findable. So that's about what I said about the. Is that end of the story?
It's easier said than done, isn't it?
I have nothing more to add, Your Honour. No, so I think it's about what I said earlier about contributing to the conversations where you have value. Mm. So my spare time podcast is a Strictly Come Dancing podcast. We live tweet Strictly every week, and that's where we get the most growth because people are like, oh, they actually have opinions on this stuff, and we'll find it. But you know, that's not going to work if I'm just tagging it with any old nonsense. So you've just got to really know where, you know, what your adding to a conversation, what your USP is, and everything needs to always come back to that. And once it does, you will find an audience. I think it's really important to know that podcast is a momentum thing. The more people that listen to, like, it will grow, but like, you just have to keep pushing it up the hill. It's just because it doesn't work in the first year doesn't mean it won't, like, people will find you. Ask people to rate you. Because that, or if you've got 5 stars, people will always be like, oh, maybe they're quite good. And then they'll find you a bit more.
They will.
And yeah, if you're in, it's a conversational medium. So if you're in conversations and people think you've got something interesting to say, they will listen and they will come. Build it and they will come. That's a long story short. But yes, I'm sure there's actually some technical things in there as well, like SEO. Johan?
Yeah, my next point was about SEO. No, it actually is though. I mean, you're talking about being findable. I've talked about SEO on a lot of these because it's something I do quite well in the content sphere. But SEO is something that's neglected a little bit with podcasts because people tend to think of it as something that's article based. But SEO is working on your images. It's working on everything you're producing essentially that can be found on Google. That's the best way to think of it. So SEO, you should SEO optimize or search engine optimize your content on the, and that means in the blurb, include a couple of keywords. If you have a stand first, include a couple of keywords. And in your title, don't make your titles overly long. People don't like clicking on that, and just make them a couple of keywords. Hone in on the fact as specific as possible within the remit of what you have. This is called How to Grow a Podcast. We are talking about how to grow a podcast, for example. And then there's other places, be on socials, you know, like Laura said, but be active and promotional on socials. You could pay for ads if you wanted to, both on socials and on search engines. That's something that we found we've had trouble with it. I'll let Nick maybe pick up on that because that's his area. But yeah, we look also towards your community, I think, is a final point to say. And that means in the charity sector specifically, ask around, boost other people's podcasts. We wrote an article on the best podcasts in the charity sector and we put ourselves last, not in a ranking system, but last on the page. Last but not least, because we want to amplify other people in the sector. So yeah, but on the paid elements, I think we struggle with it. I think we could talk a bit about how we struggle.
I mean, I'll start from the top of the marketing side of this. So I think one of the first things everyone has to think about when they're promoting a podcast is that you almost want to create yourself a marketing pack for what you're going to be doing. And I'm talking about, you need your logo to really stick out. We've mentioned that earlier on, but it's not just that. It's like the marketing you do for your podcast, I tend to believe should stick out on everything else that you do. So what I mean by that is, for example, if you're a charity who does one thing, but you have a podcast on the side to promote it, you want it so if you promote your podcast, it's clearly signposted. And that could be by a certain design element you've added to it. It makes it very clear. As soon as you're talking about the podcast, people almost see the image and they immediately know what that you're talking about. It's not just about your fundraising or your service users and stuff like that. It's, they're talking about the podcast right now. You want to build that repetition on all your socials, on all of your marketing channels. It could be that the banners for your emails when promoting podcasts are once again in sync with this. So create a design element that you're going to use across the board for everything that you do promoting it. Now, from a paid ads perspective, this is something I'm the one who does this for the charity digital. I've struggled with in the past. And sometimes it's a bit difficult because when you're promoting very specific topics across the board in certain things on Facebook, LinkedIn, and AdWords for that matter, if it's really broad, you might not struggle with it. It might be okay. So if you just made a podcast called, a bit like we have in the past, like How to Fundraise, you might be all right. But when you're going very niche, those platforms can sometimes be a bit of a struggle to find people who are going to not only be interested in that topic group, but they might struggle to find people who listen to podcasts who listen to that topic group if you're going really, really niche. So sometimes it's not the best platform for that. So I think it's really judge what your podcast is on, what's about, and then see if those platforms work for you. And that's only if you've got the budget for it as well. If you don't, you don't really need to go down that route, really. It could be that you do it for the first few podcasts to get sort of get a few more people, a little bit more traffic onto your podcast page, get a few listens. And then from then on, as Laura mentioned, let the snowball effect come into effect and let it grow naturally. But as I mentioned, the key thing I always think is just make sure that it's succinct and the designs all match up so that it's just signposted so well.
I agree. Also, dedicate real time to it. Don't, everything helps. Every little thing adds up. Don't think, oh, if I miss this one post about this podcast, people will still listen because we've got a bank of listeners. No, definitely that it will all add up and it will all become a thing. Like I've just noticed in our own, like on my own spare time podcast that like if I'm, our listens are lower if I don't post it on our socials. It just doesn't work. And you just need to make sure that everyone has access to it or knows that it's out there, and you can't be too, you almost can't be too repetitive in posting about it.
You've got to treat it as its own thing. It's not just, never look at a podcast as an opportunity to market elsewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not that. You're not going to succeed. And I think that goes back to when we were talking about sort of audiences as a whole, is that you've got to remember you've got to be offering something to someone. You are asking people for to use up their own personal time and space. So you have to be offering something of value to them. So it can never be just, I mean, I would like really suggest kids not doing a podcast on please fundraise to us. Can you imagine just listening to an hour of someone telling you why to do X, Y, Z? It just won't go. But if you explain, for example, maybe have a podcast on transparency and how things work and such, that actually has value to people. So,
And I think that's something to mention about a mistake we kind of made and I made really. I think when I went too far actually, I think what happened was, at one point, our internal podcast, we realized that we were having quite a bit of fun doing them and having a bit of a very conversational sort of format. And then we realized a couple of them, I don't know about everyone else, but I felt that, well, actually, I said this to everyone else, but I felt that they weren't getting enough information. So we needed to sort of cram information within them. Then the next one, I came and sort of did about 10 minutes at the speed of light about ways you can improve in content and stuff like that. And I think that went too far the other way. We lost that conversational flow with the tips became too fragmented without enough development in that particular podcast. Nick stops me and asks me for clarity on something, so if you want to go and see a train wreck in action. On that note, there are some things as well that I would say you should have trial and error with. Try things, they fail, drop them, don't keep doing stuff that's failing, and don't spend money on all time.
Can I add that includes your title of your podcast?
Yeah.
Like, feel free to change it.
Everything,
go ahead.
But also, when we're saying trial and error, we're not saying do it once, it doesn't work, don't do it again.
No.
You need proper trial and error period, and you need to look at the data to actually justify dropping it.
Yeah.
Completely agree.
So some things you could try. Write-ups on other websites is something you could do. Using team email signatures or your own personal email signatures to add the podcast there. See if you get any clicks. Earned media is always a difficult one, but PR and earned media is something. Add a video to the podcast so you could record your podcast and put it on YouTube. That gets more traction that way. A good one that can't really go wrong is being a guest on other people's podcasts. If you're ever invited, again, people tend to like inviting people. They like to do podcasts. Podcasts are super popular. But you being a guest, you can plug your thing. Don't talk about your podcast the whole time, like, for example, Laura has today. No, I kid. But yes, just be a guest and be active and they'll plug your podcast. Other small things, just stuff like emails. Email loads of people, see how that works for you. And if it doesn't, if any of those things doesn't, also use all social media. Don't think that Twitter is the place to go.
Yeah,
LinkedIn
completely.
Is often the place to go. We're finding increasingly our traction on LinkedIn is really good.
Yeah.
That's great. And it's not something we would have probably presumed. So it was only through trial and error that we learned that. So yeah, try everything. Throw a lot against the wall and see what sticks, I think is a saying. I'm not sure.
Timing as well, right? So you want to think about the timing that you release your podcast. I think you said earlier to us that 5 a.m. is a pretty good time.
Yeah, so in researching, apparently 5 a.m. We are currently doing it at 7 a.m. This one, we will go out on 5 a.m. That's an example.
Commuter times,
yeah.
They're the most,
they are.
They're the most dedicated times to listening to podcasts.
At 5 a.m. isn't, that's why.
5 p.m.
No, 5 a.m.
Well, I guess everything's ready then for everyone's commutes, though, aren't they?
Yeah, so I think 5 a.m. I was saying was the best time because basically it's just a... Basically, I think what happens is it's at the top of everyone's feeds at 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. So when they wake up in the morning, and that's why we put it at 7 a.m. because that was the logic behind that. But apparently it's gone earlier. 2 years ago or 3 years ago when we started this podcast, 7 a.m. was the recommended time. Research has changed. That's another good tip. Mm-hmm. Don't assume that something that worked 2 years ago is still going to work today.
Research results have changed. Yeah. The research itself might be the same. Who knows?
Thank you for clarifying that, because I'm sure everyone was so confused.
They were so confused. There's one thing I do want to talk about before we move to the next question is, and you alluded to this, the idea of adding video. So if there's one thing that you see all the biggest podcasts basically in the world now do, is that their entire podcasts already have a video form as well. I mean, you look, when you think of the big names, Like Them or Not, the Joe Rogans, the who else is massive. I can't think of one of those massive, but everything that they do is essentially on YouTube as well. There'll be a full recording of the whole podcast. And I know that there's difficulties to that, because then you need more equipment, you need videos and such, cameras and such. And also it really stops you from editing. If you've got problems within your podcast, you might not have that. But I think that's the next step. I wouldn't recommend everyone do it right away. But if you really want to take the next level up. Mm.
I think, I'm not going to disagree, because you are absolutely right. But there are also examples of really big podcasts that don't do that. Yeah. So like, don't feel massively pressured to. It's not going to be the thing that breaks your podcast.
No.
But I completely agree. And that they are, it is a really good opportunity. And if
it's just another avenue.
Comfortable taking it, take it.
But to add and to gang up on Nick a little bit, I would say that, it's just about having a realistic expectation of what you are, though.
Yeah.
I mean, for example, we're not Joe Rogan, and we're not going to be. We are literally trying to appeal to the charity sector to give some advice, helping the charity sector get on, and helping people who work with the charity sector, people who want to work with the charity sector, and anyone involved in charity life generally. We don't need to blow through the roof. We want to reach as many people as possible in that sector, and specifically those people. So judge your own limitations as well. And it's good to have limitations. It's you don't want to conquer the podcast world. You want to help the people that you want to help.
Yes,
in the first
exactly.
place. At Strictly Come Dancing, there is only a finite amount of people who will listen to that. And I'm not one of them. So
how dare you?
Sorry, that was too
much. So you've heard it here from my colleagues. Don't listen to the advice I give, because it's not true.
No.
Joking.
It's true for some people.
It's just another avenue to let people take part of your podcast, and it takes a lot of resources. So yeah, I totally agree. It's an option that should be decided
on. The benefits and the costs, and for in that particular instance, for example, if you're a small charity with a small podcast that are going for the sort of numbers that we hope for and stuff like that, it would probably be a waste of resources to buy and have someone film and have a video and publish on YouTube and everything like that. It just wouldn't justify them.
Yeah.
The means wouldn't justify the ends. However, for some people, the means would justify the ends. It's a question of, it's a cost risk analysis. Is it risk analysis cost?
You can.
Essentially, yeah.
Something like that.
That's good. Also upload to YouTube without just the audio, can't you?
Yeah
you can. Yeah,
that's true.
So I think it's something nice often slide. The hosts distribute it there. Like, you know, the... I don't think it is called the host, the Podbeans and the... it's the podcast hosting platforms where they distribute it to all the platforms. Yes, so like it takes it to Spotify and Apple Podcasts and Acast and all them lot at the same
audio
time.
Audio Boom?
And Audio Boom, the one we use.
Yes. So Audio Boom is what we use, and that publishes... I guess we haven't really even touched on that.
I think that's stuff that, to be honest, you should know at the beginning.
Yeah.
Well, you have to publish your podcast somewhere.
You do,
so
you
we
do.
Have skirted past that a little bit, and the assumption that you have pushed your podcast into the world at the very least. But yes, we have a previous podcast, and we have a lot of information on charitydigital.org.uk.
Yes. Yeah,
I should know that. Basically loads of stuff on podcasts there, and from a very... we wanted to go a bit further about developing a podcast that's already existing and it's already having minimal to moderate success. So, but if you want more information on podcasts, we'll put them in the resource section.
Yes, we will.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, let's wrap up, guys. So I guess this is a kind of fun question for everybody. What are some of the podcasts you both listen to, and why do you admire them? What do you think makes them so great?
So I have three formats that I really love in podcasts, and they really do have to like add value. Otherwise, what is the actual point of them? So I'm a really big fan of Two Pals Chatting. So I really like the Stadio podcast. It's a football podcast. Mm. They cover all of European football, but it's really thoughtful and kind. And it's sort of about the wider impact of football as well. So I just really like just hearing two people who are both sort of they both watch the show, and like both the show. I'm always thinking about football as a show. It's got an interval, you know, two halves. but yeah, so I think it's, I really enjoy that sort of thing where people are sharing their opinions and stuff. I also really like a podcast called You're Wrong About. That's where one presenter sort of does the research and explains it to the other presenter. And so they take subjects or people from the past that everyone thinks they understand, but they actually don't. And I think that's quite a good format as well. And it works as if you're explaining certain topics. And also one called Noble Blood. And this is where the author, Dana Schwartz, she takes stories about history's most fascinating royals. And it's like scripted. It's more of a presentation style. So those three I really like. But all of them are adding value in completely different ways. And all of you, you're learning something from every one of them. And I do think that's really what podcasts are for.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the podcast I like and have liked for years, I think it started as a radio show, but in our time. And the reason I like it is you always have the expert there who always tells you about, it's quite intellectual at times, and you just have someone who basically explains a concept that you might be broadly familiar with, but not in any serious sense, and haven't engaged with properly. And you can kind of listen to ones you have no idea about, ones you have a lot of knowledge about, and you'll always learn something. So again, it kind of reaffirms Laura's point that broadly, I think, and the point we've made throughout this podcast, I think, is that you need to provide value for the people who are listening, or entertainment, and that's a value in itself. But those are the two core things. Give them some, inform them or entertain. And that's
or
basically
BBC.
It. Is that okay?
No, but it's true and they're right.
Okay. It is true and they are right.
You're completely right. I think that's what you, like, why would anyone listen if you didn't tell them something they didn't know?
Yeah, that's true. I guess, I mean, from my perspective, I don't traditionally listen to normal podcasts. I never, ever like put on Spotify and such. For me, it's more, I have a lot of like specific listeners. I listen to snippets of their podcast online because I'm a YouTube kid. But I love very, really weird niche ones. Like I listen to the podcast called The Desert Doom and The Fuzz Life, and they're just about really weird music stuff and they interview people. But one of the ones I probably listen to the most, and it's not great to be saying this in the UK, but is an American football host guy called Rich Eisen. But the reason I love his podcast so much, one of his show and everything that he does, is that the team he has got such camaraderie and they work bounce off each other so well. And I think that's one of the things why I think it's so successful and why I like it so much, that I like podcasts where it's clearly a lot of people enjoying themselves and getting a lot of good information out at the same time, which is really quite rare. Some things get quite awkward, and the interview ones I don't really enjoy very much because they clearly don't know each other. But the ones where you have a host who makes everyone feel very welcome as well, those are the ones I can actually get behind.
Yeah, it'd be really great if we could get such a host.
I've never met one.
It would be.
Just to jump on one of your points, Nick, I'm really sorry, really late in the podcast. But like, yeah, people, if you have a niche, people will eventually find you, I think, because that's really good.
They will. Yeah. With the internet.
I think you made that point earlier as well.
Oh, well, that's a nice, well, we can just wrap
double
up
the
cut
trouble.
That out, can't you now? Cut it out.
All right. Thank you very much to both of you. I think that's all we've got time for today. Thank you so much, Ewan. Thank you very much, Laura, and thank you so much to our audience for listening to this today. We hope that everything we said we've delivered on us also from this podcast. I'm very weary of the fact that we've spoken about like audio quality and equipment, and we could have had some massive malfunctions along the way, but fingers crossed it didn't happen. We'll blame the air conditioning if you heard that. Or blame the host for that matter. But
I don't mean that.
Thank you so much for listening today. Follow us on all of our socials if you want to join in any of the conversations on any of these topics, or let us know what you want us to talk about. I think our Twitter handle is at charitydigiorg.
Yes.
So yeah, come follow us, come talk to us. You'll have a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Also, I love the producer.
We hope you enjoyed this Charity Digital podcast. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed are those of the speakers and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of Charity Digital. The material and information presented here is for general information purposes only. Thanks for listening.